Morning, everybody. It is good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming and hanging out with the early service. Get extra credit in heaven. I can't actually declare that. But anyway, it's fun to say, I guess. I've come to the early service. As Beth was announcing earlier, we only have three more of these until we hit our summer, simple summer approach. And I look forward to this summer in special ways because we get to celebrate like through the whole summer in different ways and forms our 10th year of being on the planet as a church. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Someone's getting old in this deal. And I'm getting to, you know, watch my son play trumpet this morning. I think it's me. So anyway, 10 years ago, he was seven, you know, and it's weird. But anyway, good days, lots of great conversations going on. Looking forward to continuing some conversations based on some things we've said over the last couple months, building up to really, I think, a tough situation that we all find ourselves in. At least I know I find myself in this when we're thinking about whether it's a 10-year gap, you know, like what we just mentioned, or we're talking about the concept of future. I know graduation was yesterday at Laterno, and I have some friends in here that are like going, you know who you are. So congratulations to y'all that have done that. We get to honor graduates here in a couple of weeks here on stage and look forward to that, as well as family dedication next Sunday. And it's kind of one of those connections that intersect in the moment called now. Have you noticed how hard it is to live in the now, like this moment? Because it's so easy. It's so easy to kind of focus on the past, because the past just likes to continue to knock on our door, right? It's also really easy to focus on the future, to get caught up in the plans and the thoughts about what we want to do someday, or what we want to be someday, or where we want to go someday. And in the midst of the past and in the midst of the future, we have this present day reality that's sometimes hard to live in. We all have little secret, you know, joys in life. Some of us have joys of, you know, certain things we eat or certain places to go. And some of those we don't want to confess to. I'm going to confess one of mine to you. A secret joy of mine is to make you, you know, kind of internally struggle. All right? Now, that's a weird confession, but here's one of the ways that I can make you struggle. All right? Lots of us in church experiences growing up, we come to places and times like that where we get to sit and listen to the guy on stage and not have to do anything. All right? Then, you know, you come to a church like LifePoint, and we make you at certain times take 5 minutes out of a service and actually have a conversation, right? And you're like, don't do this today. Sorry. It's just a joy of mine. I'm going to make you, all right? And so it's kind of fun sometimes for me to sit up here and watch some of you people like run for the bathrooms or whatever. You know, oh, I need more coffee, all right? Yes, I'm calling you out right now, all right? So a secret joy of mine right now is for you to spend the next 5 minutes. Wow. 5 minutes talking about the now, all right? So again, I think we have a problem right now with the now, all right? And I want to prove it to you, okay? So find a friend here in just a second, all right? It could be somebody you come with if you want to play it safe. If you feel risky today, all right, which is cool, I'll you know, applaud you if you do this. Go find a new friend. Make a new friend. Find somebody that you can share this with. And here's what I want you to do. And wait, before you, some of you churchy people think, man, can we not just have a sermon, you know, and do church? Well, we're going to do the word. We've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, and pull off Galatians 6 verses 2. We're going to live out Galatians 6 2, where it says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So here we are going to fulfill the law of Christ, as in following Christ, being like him, living out his word, living out the concept of church life together, carry each other's burdens. Because it's just too easy to sit there and listen, all right? So I'm going to call you out for a moment, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to fulfill this scripture by answering or finishing this sentence. Here is my now, okay? Here is my now. My now, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to share, my now is. Okay, now, there's rules, okay? You may not mention anything of the past. Nothing. All right? I'm proving to you how hard this is. Nothing about yesterday, nothing about past struggles, nothing about problems with mom and dad, nothing about that weird family member that you want to destroy because what they did to you, nothing of that, all right? No plans about the future, not including no lunch plans, no this week plans, nothing of the future at all, zero. The only rule is I'm going to share my now. So my now is... And you can share whatever you want. You have 5 minutes, so pace yourself. All right? Ready, set, go. Go. Talk. All right? Fulfilling the words of Christ. My now is. I got my timer going. No. I'm not giving you an example. You're on your own. Good try. Well done. I mean, 5 minutes of talking about now, at least I saying well done. You would know more individually. I am curious. I had a request down here a while ago about examples and ideas and thoughts. And actually, I didn't give those to you because I'm curious about what your focus was on. Did you describe your physical now? You know, whether that might be health or just weariness and tired or sleepy or, you know, did you focus on the physical? It's probably pretty easy to do that. That may be the least confessional, you know, because you don't have to reveal relational stuff or emotional stuff. But you kind of get through the physical pretty quick. I mean, you had a whole 5 minutes. So, you know, you kind of get through that in, 30 seconds to a minute, and then you go, still got time, you know? So what are we going to talk about now? You know, are we going to talk about our emotional feelings? It becomes very confessional. It's kind of weird when you're focusing on now. It's very confessional, isn't it? It's not this focus on, you know, hopes, dreams, plans, fears, insecurities, problems. You know, well, it may be problems within the relationship. It's you know, if we're open and willing to confess, we definitely think about problems or victories within relationships. It was fun in a conversation I had with some friends. We were talking about living within the of current miracles. Like God's been doing some things, and right now God's doing some really cool things. And living in the day that God's doing cool things. We're not just, you know, writing in a diary about how God's done something in the past. Or we're not hoping that God will do something in the future. And obviously there's nothing wrong with doing either one of those. But the trick is to also live in the present day and see what God's doing now. So I don't know, maybe you focused on spiritual. Anyway, I'm just curious about what you might have focused on. This is a much harder thing to do than you might just, you know, imagine. The past is typically easier to chat about as we can separate our current situation enough to be completely vulnerable about our current status. So we'd rather focus on the past, because if we focus on the now, it drives that vulnerability. The future is easier to talk about as well. It's safer to open up about our hopes, our dreams, our prayers, or just simply wish list. And that's much different than describing our current situations, especially struggles with the now. You know, and this also affects our perspectives of God very quickly. The question kind of in my mind is God at work now? I mean, like right now, is God at work? And if he's not at work, why? Is it because, you know, he's not in the now, or is it because we're not in the now? Is it because we're focused on something else, or is it because he's distracted? Is it because he doesn't really involve himself in the day-to-day? Or is it because we don't allow him to be involved in the day-to-day? So these are all questions I have. And I really believe that many people understand that God is fully in control of all of life, but they still struggle daily with peace, patience, and basic trust in God's power. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. And I want to chat about each of these. This is that there is no doubt that a lot of people that I talk to say they understand that God's in control, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-understanding. But those individuals still struggle with peace, still struggle with patience, still have basic trust issues with God, still wonder if God's power is for them. Do you see the dilemma? I mean, this is a real issue of how the real world intersects with crosses the reality of what we say we believe. How often do we have firm convictions about moral truths, but still feel overwhelmed with guilt and condemnation? I mean, it's not just knowing right from wrong. It's having a spiritual understanding of how right and wrong get lived out in life, but at the same time, feeling this immense amount of guilt and condemnation from the past. And then, of course, how many Christians, how many people that say they believe in God's word or believe in the Bible can speak intelligently of all these things about the future? The end times where God's got you and there's nothing to fear, and that he's always for us and not against us, and that he holds the whole world in his hands. Don't worry, we won't sing, all right? But I mean, think about that kind of stuff. We say we believe in all that kind of stuff, and we can even speak intelligently about it, but we're gripped with fear when we think about the future. Why? Why does fear overwhelm us and doubt overwhelm us and distrust of God and God's presence and power? Why do we get caught up in the past failures and the doubts and the guilt and the shame of yesterday when there's absolutely nothing we can do about either one of them, right? The last time I checked, I did not have the ability to deal with the future. It would be really cool, but I don't have any ability. It would be a nice little superpower, you know, to have, but we can't zoom ahead and see what's going on, you know, and place bets on the stock market or, you know, decide where to live and, you know, buy this house and not that house or, you know, go to this industry and not work in this. We can't do that. So guess what that demands? Trust. It demands a focus on being who we're supposed to be now. Same thing as with the past. Yeah, have you not noticed that you can't go fix anything that happened yesterday or last year or 10 years ago? You can't. You know, this year, the last couple years actually, of getting into these 40s, you know, speaking of being confessional here. You know, the reality is when I was in my 20s and 30s wanting to get back in shape and living more healthy, it was pretty easy actually. At the whim of what I wanted to do, you know, not eat honey buns and eat carrot sticks or whatever, you know. Exercise a couple of days a week and, you know, man, that has changed, friends. You know, I mean, it takes a lot of work now. It takes some determination, you know. And I wish I would have, you know, at least my doctor tells me that, if I'd have done better 5-10 years ago, I wouldn't have to worry about a few things now. But now is now. And I have to deal with the now. It causes me to work a little harder. It causes me to focus on being present and not struggling, not just in my health, but in my focus of life. Yeah, do I really want to be distracted with health issues when I've got, you know, a family, I got 4 kids, I've got obviously a church, I got relationships, I got friendships, got this whole thing that God wants me to do around the world. And the reality is that's now. And it seems like that past wants to distract me and consume me. There's nothing I can do back there. Can't change a thing. The truth is that we struggle in sharing our present day burdens with one another and even with the Lord, because the past and the future consume us. Let's remember what Jesus says in Matthew 28 when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Now, when you talk about the word rest, is that talking about the future or is that talking about the past? The reality is neither. It's talking about right now, that you can have a rest in your heart and in your spirit, a sense of real peace, a sense of understanding of who you are in Christ and the reality of the relationships that's healthy right now. A rest in your spirit. He even goes on to say, as an offer for the now, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light." So there's an exchange opportunity now, that your very burdens and your struggles and your troubles and your past and your anxieties and your worries about your future, whether you're... all those can be given to him now. And the reality is he can help you focus on the now if you are focused on him now. Let's talk about what happens when we get stuck in the past for a few moments. When we have past failures, hurts, relational failures, moral failures, abuses, neglect, major losses that consume our thoughts, then our attitudes and actions naturally follow those thoughts, right? We have loss overwhelming our present, and we doubt all good things in our future and even in our present. We get stuck in some patterns, okay? There's some patterns of being stuck in the past. That they include guilt, resentment, anger, and bitterness. All of those things that we can look back on, relational failures or neglect of family or abuses, and we get stuck in the things of the past that are very real. Now, please hear my heart on this. Nobody's saying they're not real. They're very real. The question is what have you done with them? Because my feelings are, is if you have assumed those burdens, back to what we were talking about in Matthew 11, then those burdens will continue to burden you. They will overwhelm you at times. You will feel like there's no peace and no rest and no opportunities to deal with the past. So the question is what are you going to do with those past burdens? Again, you get into a pattern of guilt and you just replicate that pattern of guilt. Or you get into this stream of resentment and even hatred of others that have done things to you or hurt you in the past. Or just pure anger and bitterness. Remember what the Lord's word has said about dealing with the past. Isaiah 43 says it this way, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I read that this week. Again, I read it before. I kind of have an inner dialogue, you know, that could mean scary things, I know. But I have this back and forth between myself that says, is he real about that? I mean, forgetting the past is that human? Are we humanly capable of that? I started to really dig into myself on that. That it's easy to keep score, huh? It's easy to allow something else to convince me I'm not worthy of God's forgiveness or approval. The reality is a focus on the past brings about a lot of condemnation. A lot of condemnation either on myself or on others. And even at times we get into this argument if the Lord is fair. Anybody ever done that before? We actually condemn him. So I will say to you that I don't think it's humanly possible. I think to really forget the former things, we have to, as Jesus just shared with us in his word, hand over our burdens. Because the exchange is pretty cool, because he's not going to give you anything that you can't handle. And then on in Philippians 3, one of my favorite sets of scriptures, there in verse 10, it says, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and somehow attain a resurrection from the dead. So this is really cool. We're talking about handing over the past with a guarantee of the future. And then he goes on in verse 12. Please hear this. This isn't just about the future or the past here. He's like, I want to know that resurrection, and I want to know that suffering that he had, but I also want to attain something about the resurrection from the dead. So I'll focus on Jesus big time here. And then he says in verse 12, I haven't already attained this. I'm not there yet. I haven't been made perfect. But here's what I'm doing right now. I press on to take hold of for which Christ took hold of me. He's already given me everything I need. He's already pursued my soul. He's already given me opportunities, you know, in this life to know him and to be loved by him and to be forgiven by him. He even brought his Holy Spirit when he went back into heaven. When he shot back up there, he said, I'm going to send another one to be in you and with you. There's no use for a physical temple anymore. We have the ability for the Holy Spirit to live in us, it says. And then, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet. I haven't got it all figured out yet. I'm not there yet. But one thing I am doing, and I love that concept that I do this now. Forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. The straining towards concept is the focus of now. That it is a strain. This is not easy. Because we have all kinds of enemies around us. And sometimes the enemy is self, right? Sometimes the enemy is our own emotions, our own past. Sometimes the enemy is evil himself. There is nothing more than the deceiver of all of life, the master and father of all lies, the one that is seeking to destroy you. What do you think the number one way to destroy you is? Come and knock on your front door and go, hello, I'm Satan. I'm here to take you out. No, he's smarter than that. He just gets you consumed in the past. And he gets you dreaming about the future, and you don't live in the now. You can't focus on him or on relationships or on the opportunities right now. Right in front of you. So easy to get relationally lazy, for the future. It's so easy to get caught up in the relational failures of the past. We could talk about that in physical ways, in spiritual ways, in obviously emotional ways. It's so easy to do that. Brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but I forget what's behind, strain towards what is ahead. I press towards the goal. The press is now. To win the prize for which God's already called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So there's already an understanding that I'm going to go there. So why should I live like I'm, you know, live there and consumed by there when I could live right now? And really the question is why am I still here? I mean, why are you still here? Yeah, some of us already have a relationship with Christ. And if we already have a relationship with Christ, why has he left you on the planet? Do you think maybe to live in the now so we can affect others now? So we can build his kingdom now? So we can love on people that are struggling in life now? So we can focus on making a difference in the world that he's given us now? This is a mature focus on the mixture of the now and the future when it says in verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of such things. You know what he just said to us, right? Do you remember hearing this from your dad growing up? It's time to grow up, boy. You know, this is one of those growing up statements, okay? If you're mature, you're going to take a view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, that means you're wrong, okay? This is a bit what he just said. If you think differently than that, then that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already obtained. We've already obtained this relationship with Christ. If you know him personally, then let's live up to that relationship. Jesus always lived in the now. He wasn't ever consumed by the yesterday. He wasn't consumed by what's coming. It was always in the moment. Check out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and test me on that. See, we get stuck in patterns in the future just like we get stuck in patterns of the past. Some of those patterns in the future include worry, insecurity, anxiety, and fear. Anybody want to admit to that? Anybody get caught up in some fear element or some insecurity or some doubt that he's going to really pave the way or that's called worry? By the way, Matthew 6 says it this way. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? I mean, this is just common sense conversation from God. Worry away. What's it going to do for you? Going to solve anything for you? Going to help you out tomorrow? Going to add a single moment to your life if you worry a little bit more? Let's worry a little bit more so we can live longer, you know? I mean, we don't even need scripture, I hate to say it that way, to have decent science by saying those people that have a lot of anxiety have shorter lifespans. But it's lived out in a real truth, eternal way by asking the question of us, by God saying, you're not going to solve one thing in life by being consumed by worry. Trust in him now. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom. This is a now statement. Seek him now, his righteousness now. And all the other things that you tend to get caught up in and worry about, they'll be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, worry about itself. And I love this statement, one of my favorite statements in Scripture. I say it all the time. Well, every day has enough worries of its own, doesn't it? Right now, there's a lot to focus on. Don't allow the mountain of tomorrow or the future to overwhelm you. Allow him to speak truth and life into you now. It drives us to be conversational with him now. I guess the question is for us today is, are these words simply good quotes or Facebook statuses? Or are they words to live by and to apply to our lives, our everyday approach to dealing with life? Let's look at Jesus' life for just a second before we wrap up today. Would you think he lived in the past, the present, or the future? Again, I already told you the answer to that. No doubt he did always talk. He talked about people of the past and their impact on their now. He dreamed of a church that would make an impact in their now. Sure, he talked that way. But he didn't sit around and talk about glory days of Abraham, Noah, David, or the great prophets and the many miracles that came with them without the examples of what they did in their world. We rarely hear him mention not just those days, but even the future and what is coming. He did talk about a coming kingdom. always within the idea, though, of what we're going to do to build that kingdom now. He did often talk about the kingdom of God and of heaven, but let me also remind you of one of his very earliest statements. Matter of fact, before you find him even reaching out to what we know as disciples, he says this in Matthew 4. Jesus began to preach. He's first starting, y'all. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is, I think you can interchange these two words, near and now. Why I say that is because the concept of near was a physical concept and a concept of time. That we're not talking about long-term future that the kingdom of heaven is going to come. Matter of fact, remember the prayer that he taught his boys. May your kingdom come on this earth, as in now, like it is in heaven now. The reality that it is this very moment that is all you got. And may that kingdom that you have there, that eternal sense of peace, that internal sense of God's presence, that internal idea of being a friend of God, that understanding who you are in the ability of relating to Him, may that happen right here on this earth. And not just hope that someday we get it all figured out. That's a scary way to live your life. Want to make sure that we grasp all that's going on here. Just a little bit of a picture of the reality of the past and the future and the temptation to focus on that. Just this idea that in John 10:10, we'll read that here in a second together, is an idea that the thief or the evil himself comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and a life to the full. So if we're focused on the now, we're focused on the full life, not one of guilt and resentment and anger and bitterness, not one of worry and insecurity and anxiety and fear. Because if we're focused on the past, we have all this condemnation of ourselves and of others. But if we're focused on this future, we have all these burdens. We're overwhelmed by the potentials of tomorrow. But if we're living in the now, we have a life that he calls full. So the question is your life full now? And if it's not, if you have struggles in relationships or struggles with the past or fears of the future or emotional issues or relational issues or family issues or sin issues, or then deal with now. It's not a putting off. It's not a just I want to carry the past. It's literally going back to that simple words of Jesus in Matthew 11. If you are weary and you have heavy burdens, I give rest. This isn't just some physical nap that sounds good on a Sunday afternoon. This is the real deal, internal sense of security, peace, love, understanding of life. A reminder back to John 10:9-10. He says to us, I am the gate. The gate that understands what we're talking about. Right now, a gate. Whoever enters through will be saved. That means you're in relationship with him. Go through him. He is the answer for thee now. He will come in and go out and find pasture. What that means is you'll come in through that gate. He'll be relational with you. He saves you from your past and from your guilt and your shame. He helps you understand your role in the present day and in the future. And then as you go back out in life and deal with life, and understanding at the same time in this shepherding days of Jesus, living out in the fields, so you'll find pasture. Pasture is that great word of in the present day, having all that you need. You got your food, you got your water, and you got that peaceful, easy feeling of life. And it's not just some emotional, easy feeling. It's reality of things are right now. The thief is out to get you. He's out to steal away your present day reality and your future. He's out to kill your concept of God's love in your life and how that love can change your relationships. And he's out to destroy everything that's good Everything that God has done to show you his love, he's out to destroy your perspectives of love. He's out to destroy your relationships. That is what happens when we get stuck in the past and the future. It is destruction, friends. But I've come so you can have life to the full right now. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't ever miss the moment that you live in, that God is right there for you. As we begin this conversation this month, I pray that each of us finds the present day reality of Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. Isn't that cool to think about? In the world of inconsistencies, we have a consistent Savior that wants to take away our burdens and our condemnation and our fears. We find a Savior knowing all about our past and our future. Matter of fact, check this out. I mean, think about this. He knew that every failure you would ever make and ever have. I mean, that was that whole scripture where it says that he still died for you before you ever sinned. And he knew what you were going to do. Even if you entered into a relationship with him, he knew that you would still get consumed by whatever this life. And he still did it. Do you think he's not pretty focused on you and on me? And on the everyday reality of the battle that we face. This is not just a coming kingdom, but a kingdom that he hopes we will be building with him instantly. This is your day. This is your moment of life. This is your promise of God. This is your ultimate blessing. You do realize the ultimate blessing of life has very little to do with the stuff of life. Has almost nothing to do with prosperity, has almost nothing to do with belongings, has almost nothing to do with pleasure. The real super and most incredible blessing that you've got is that he lets you live this very moment. And he doesn't have to. The opportunities that you have right now is unbelievable. That's how much he is willing to apply grace and forgiveness and mercy and strength and power and presence in your life. Don't miss now. See him today. Imagine him today inviting you into a life, a whole life, a full life, where old becomes new, where dirty becomes clean, where burdens do not allow to overwhelm. They get lifted. Condemnations are removed. He is that kind of God. He is here right now. And one more time, he says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that offer. Father, it's easy to apply that to somebody else's life. It's easy to get tricked into the deceptions of tomorrow and the struggles of yesterday. So we pause, Lord. We take a moment with you and for you as we did with a friend a while ago. And we ask you, O God, O giver of life and love, O sacrificer, O redeemer. God, we ask you, Lord, to speak to our heart. God, we just kind of pull it out and lay it out in front of you. Here's our heart, Lord. God, change our heart. Not just a brain game in our thoughts, but Lord, change our heart. Not just a temporary feel-good of peace because we're in a dark room hanging out and singing songs, Lord, but change our heart. God, may the real struggles of the past not overwhelm us any longer. Lord, speak to our hearts about that. Only you can do that. God, may we not be so burdened about tomorrow that we miss the very blessings of today. Speak to our hearts about that, oh God. And God, it is in our hearts where the real war happens, where lives are changed and old becomes new and dirty becomes clean because of you intersecting our hearts. So God, our prayer and our song and our need, Lord, is for you to intersect deep within us. Take a moment. Cast your cares upon one that can handle it. share your past, your burdens, your fears of your future, your anxieties, your overwhelmed thoughts, your struggling relationships, problems at work, school, issues of your marriage, issues with friendship, with other family. Come to me, he says. I'll give you rest. If you need someone to pray for you, we have folks in our prayer circles that will do that. Love to pray with you, encourage you, comfort you. If not, may you just encounter the Lord where you're at. Share with us how we can pray for you on your communication card. We'll commit to doing that this week. Most importantly, encounter him today with your heart. Here's our heart, Lord. Here's our heart.